Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving with Rusty. Living and Thriving with Rusty. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed and beloveds out there in Radio Land. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and guess what? I'm Rusty. In the morning and in the evening and in the afternoon, and especially in the morning when I'm trying to roll out of bed in 40-degree weather. What is going on, South Florida? I paid my heating bill, I swear. It has been extremely cold at night, and my body just doesn't like the cold. It rebels, it fights it, it says absolutely no, and I cannot seem to warm up the center of my being. Maybe I am truly a reptile, who knows. Today, though, I have to say, was absolutely exceptionally beautiful. We ended up with 75-degree weather, and this morning was clear skies, bright and sunny, absolutely gorgeous, perfect day to clean the house, which is what I did, and now we're cloudy, maybe, because we're so close to the ocean, maybe we'll be getting a storm or two. Not quite sure as of yet. We will find out. I'm super excited about my guest today, Lisa Bennett. She is an Akashic Record goddess, trainer, healer, guru, fantastic, all-around amazing woman. And she is going to be joining us in just a second. I have a proposal to everyone that's out there. I want you to really, 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 really look inside yourself and think about how you show up to your day. Do you show up as grumpy grumperson? Do you show up as mischievous mystery person? Do you show up as an asshole? Like, how are you showing up to your day? I can guarantee if you try to change the way you perceive your day, in the very beginning, the rest of your day will be really quite powerful and beautiful. And so I challenge you to show up being the best version of yourself. And that whole idea of fake it to make it, you know what? Sometimes that's what you have to do. Sometimes you have to say, okay, I feel like an asshole. I acknowledge that. But I'm going to do everything in my power not to be a grumpy grumperson, not to be mean. I'm going to step out of my way and do something outside of my norms and be kind to other people and tip bigger or say hello to somebody who normally wouldn't or buy somebody's coffee or, you know, my latest favorite thing is just mail somebody a postcard. Like, just mail one of your buddies a postcard. We don't actually get love mail anymore. We get usually you owe me money or we're going to try to tease you with a credit card that you can't afford. Or, hey, buy a house that you can't afford mail. We don't get a, hey, I miss you, and I was thinking about you, and here's a funny postcard, or here's a cute postcard, or here's a dog on a postcard. Who knows? Doesn't have to be a postcard. But you get my picture. And that's the challenge of the week. Doing something really outside of your box. Showing up in the moment in a different way to make your day even better. Now, if I knock on this door, I believe, knock, knock, it will be Lisa on the other side. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right because I'm rarely wrong. Knock, knock.
I think you're right.
Yay! Hi, Lisa. I'm so excited about our adventure today. I know that you have a lot to share and a lot to talk about, and I just want to get, you know, put on the bootstraps and let's get to it. So, Lisa, who are you? What do you do? And what makes you you?
Well, I'm thrilled to be here, Rusty. So lovely to meet you and get to share. So my name is Lisa Barnett. I am the founder of Akashic Knowing School of Wisdom. I help people to connect to their own soul's guidance to transform their life. And so I have written two books about the Akashic Records, The Infinite Wisdom of the Akashic Records, which is actually a how to access your own records book if you want to learn by reading a book. And my second book is called The From Questioning to Knowing, with 73 healing prayers to transform your life. And I've channeled them both from the Akashic Record Keepers. And that's a little bit about me. I've been teaching people over the last 25 plus years to access their own Akashic Records, understand who they are as a divine, ancient, and wise soul, and helping them to really step in and create the life that their heart and soul desires.
Well, I'll be the first one to admit to you that I am so ancient and so old, I don't even think they have hieroglyphs in my book. So what do you do when you don't think that there's any writings about you? Like, you don't have a book, maybe. I don't know.
Well, you know, we all have books because it's just an energetic reality that from the moment we are individuate from source, that your soul individuates from the one, and we go on a soul journey, everything is recorded in this etheric quantum field energy of source. And so we have a huge library because we are friggin' old, and many of us have been coming back to this planet for hundreds and hundreds of lifetimes. They tell me that I've been here over 1,000 times. When they told me that, not only did my jaw drop, but I thought, no wonder I'm already exhausted, right?
Right.
So let's yeah, go ahead.
Let's talk Akashic Records 101. Take us through the baby steps of what they are, what they mean, and why they're important.
So what the Akashic Records are is the recording of your soul's journey through all time-space continuum. So that means that from the moment that your soul individuated from source, there has been a recording of every life you've lived on Earth and in other planes and dimensions. So some of us have been in the angelic dimension, supporting other souls in places such as Earth. Many of us have just had lives as, you know, other planets, like as starseeds, right? We've lived on Sirius or Arcturus. We're actually way more galactic, I think, than most of us imagine. I think a lot of people imagine that we are born and we come to Earth maybe a couple of times and that's it. But we're infinite. We are eternal, which means that we roam the galaxies and the dimensions pretty much for all time. So your Akashic Records records that. So it gives you the ability to go back and say, who am I? What have I been and done? Why am I here now? What plan did my soul make for this incarnation, this time? What soul contracts do I have with people in my life? Who did I want to support? Who stepped up to support me? What do I want to learn about? What kinds of old lessons have I not finished that I'm ready to finish this time? And what gifts or talents would I like to share, with my family, with humanity? It could be big or it could be small. But it's about this life. So much of who you are and why you came to the world, to this lifetime, is actually written also in your Akashic Records, as well as who you've been and what you've done. But I think really the important point for most of us is, why did I come now? What did I want to do? What did I want to share? Who did I want to love or help or support? So it's not only about all the lives you've lived, but it's also about your soul's plan, the plan your soul made for this specific life.
Well, my soul must have been drunk or stoned for this to particular life, because I'm not a queen who's rolling around in gold and diamonds and having palm trees stand at me and eating grapes. So how did I get that wrong?
Well, you know, actually imagine how many queens are there really in the world, right? It's not like there's 7 billion and you're the only one who screwed it up, right? So, you know,
right.
I would say, I, you know, we all want to learn. So the truth that I have received through the Akashic Records in my, you know, 25, 35 years of studying this, working in these energetic realms, is that we literally come here, as crazy as it sounds, and let me say I've railed against it most of my 65 years of this life, that we've come here to learn and grow as a soul and to support other souls in our growth as a soul, right? So we honestly, we do occasionally have some kind of rest life that may be pretty easy. But for most of us, you know, we come with purpose, with desire, with, you know, purposes, not just one. We don't have one purpose. We have lots to do. You know, say someone like you, Rusty, has a soul desire to be a communicator, to help people through communication. And you're doing it with, you know, radio shows. I don't know if you've written books, but many of us communicators, myself included, have written many books, speak on many podcasts, shows, stages. We have a mission to share wisdom with other people.
I agree with that 100%. I'm on the 18th book, so yes, I'm an over-communicator for some people. I think it's so powerful, words and conversation. They're just so powerful. So between the podcasts and the books and the conferences and the YouTube, communication is a huge thing.
Yeah, so it's fascinating because I think that so many people are kind of stuck in that space of feeling like, well, I'm just only one little person. You know, who am I to, you know, do anything bigger or to step out in the world and to be seen or to share my views or to share what I've learned and what I know. And really the truth of us is that we are all such unique souls. We really are ancient and have had, you know, hundreds and hundreds of lifetimes where we've learned so much. And we really have a lot to share when we allow ourselves to really get out of our own way and to realize we do have a lot of wisdom and guidance. And sometimes for some of us, it's really just about sharing some of the challenges we've encountered and how we've worked through it. Right? So I work a lot
tap into the Akashic Records. Like, if you can't just go to the library or take a pill like they do them.
Right? Wouldn't that be nice? But it's not all that much harder. So I teach a 5-step wisdom prayer system. What happened was the Akashic Record Keepers, I actually stumbled into the Akashic Records about 40 years ago because I was an intuitive energy healer, and I knew about the Akashic Records. Now, honestly, 40 years ago, no one was talking about the Akashic Records except for maybe Edgar Cayce. And so, you know, I stumbled into the records and talked to them for about 5 years and never had any idea who I was actually, you know, talking to, where all of this big information was coming from. And so when I realized that the record keepers were actually speaking to me and sharing all of this information, they asked me, they said, would you help us to bring this back to humanity? Because these beautiful beings of light that keep our records, that work in this energetic vibration of the Akashic field, they actually had pulled the energy of the Akash away from humanity during the Dark Ages because people misused it for their own gain. So during the Dark Ages, you know, 1000, you know, 1200, people were using it to win wars, to find people's gold and jewels, to really just, it was more about their own personal gain. And so the record keeper said, well, humanity's not ready for this information yet. And so they pulled the vibration away. And about 50 or so years ago, they said, okay, this is the time. We actually are awakening as a humanity, as a huge collective. And so they said, you know, it's time to help people realize that we are all ancient souls. We are unique and wise souls. And we have missions and purposes and gifts and talents to share. And so they asked me to help them bring the information back, and they gave me what I now call my five-step wisdom prayer system. So they gave me energetic access keys, which I call a prayer because that's kind of what they feel like. It's a simple prayer poem type process. And so it's in my book, The Infinite Wisdom of the Akashic Records. I wrote out the five-step wisdom prayer system, and I teach it in online workshops. But it's, you know, my book is available on Amazon. A lot of people find it's an easy, great way to learn by using a vibrational key, an access prayer, to open their records and shift the energy and move into this field. And I really teach you, even in the book, you know, to ask questions, connect to your Akashic record keepers. So it's a process, like anything, you know, to open the records and learn to do this work. But it is very, very profound and just beneficial and supportive in our life every day.
All right, so where do we find your book? This is a great place for us to plug in where we can find more information about you.
Absolutely. So you can get The Infinite Wisdom of the Akashic Records on Amazon, and you can also find it on my website, which is akashicknowing.com. So I know there's a whole page, and my website is on there. Thank you, Rusty. And
welcome.
And so you can see more about my two books at the moment, and even upcoming workshops. My next online workshop starts on February 8th, and so I teach online a six-session workshop, because what I find is that most people like a little extra guidance, a little more support, right, to learn to do something that's different, you know? Like if we want to learn to talk to our angels, it can be helpful to have someone guide us in a way. Same with the Akashic Records, part of source energy, but having that kind of extra guidance, having someone hold that field of energy for you, makes it a little bit easier to start to learn to access it, right? That kind of vibrational support is very helpful in learning these types of tools, which are really profound and can be very life-changing, because what I love to teach my students is to get that simple information, which is, you know, what was my soul planning when I came here? You know, what are my soul contracts with my children, my parents, my, you know, significant partners or my best friends? Is there some talent or gift that it would be beneficial for me to help share with the world, right? So we can ask some of those big questions that we usually don't get an answer to when we ask ourselves.
What was your interest? Like, you stumbled into it. Edgar Cayce is really quite phenomenal to listen to and read his work, because he was really ahead of the time, but he was open enough to have the conversation that nobody wanted to have at the time. So we'll give him that. But was it just like it was like a rabbit hole, or was you like the Auntie Drew just so curious that you had to keep going?
So, yeah, so for me, I was what I say is I was born awake. So when I was about 3 years old, I realized in this very strange conscious sort of way that I was trapped back in a body. That was my experience as a three-year-old, like, oh my gosh, I'm in a body. And I could remember not being in a body. I could remember kind of being in this more, you know, etheric form, you could say. I could almost see myself in this, you know, energetic form, conversing without words with my two friends. I just had a memory of talking to these two other souls, and not having to use a lot of words. And of course, as a three-year-old, I was trying to probably tell my mother something, and she couldn't understand me. And it was like I got triggered and realized, oh my God, of course she can't understand me. I'm trapped in a body and I'm a baby. I don't have that many words, right? And so I literally kind of woke up at that point as this very small child. And so again, as I was kind of conscious in this odd way that I was more than just this simple little body, I started to study as a teenager. So when I was 13, 14, I started to read books like Robert Monroe's, who started the Monroe Institute. I read Journeys Out of the Body, and I read Baba Ram Dass' Be Here Now. I was growing up in the late 60s, early 70s. The Maharishi had just brought transcendental meditation to the United States. East was meeting the West. So there was just and I lived in California, thankfully. There was more of that information probably here than in a lot of places in the country. So I was kind of born aware in that way that I couldn't help but search for answers to my questions. And so my search literally continued through college. I studied philosophy. I majored in philosophy. And so it was a very strong drive for most of my life until my two best friends died when I was still young and a teenager. And then I was, you know, thrown, because of course here I'm already aware that we're infinite souls. I'm aware that we live forever. And yet I was stuck with this feeling like, but how could these children die? One died in a car accident and one died of a brain tumor. And I thought, this is so unfair. You know, I've got something wrong. So there was a whole part of me that was traumatized, and there was a part of me that was just so angry, you know, really at the world, at God, that, you know, this could possibly happen. So I actually was derailed. My spiritual really path was kind of derailed by the trauma. But, you know, to me, the interesting thing with life is that many of us have really hard and challenging lives. And we think, you know, why would I pick that? That's kind of crazy, isn't it, to pick a hard life? But what the record keepers always say is that, honestly, our main drive in life is to, like I said, learn and grow and help other people to learn and grow, to be the support, to be the love, to get the information that we can actually help other people to ease our lives, to ease our path, and really to be that compassion, forgiveness, and love for others. And so that is actually what the death of my two best friends ended up teaching me. It took quite a few years. It took me almost 15 years to kind of work through the emotional pain and trauma of loss and you know, that kind of derailing of when you're a kid and life seems to go south, right? Many of us have had, many people have had very challenging lives. So I find that that the Akashic Records, there's a lot of ability to heal and to shift old energies and to use the Akashic Records to help us really not only understand our bigger picture of our life, but to actually transform some of the old energies, to clear some of the emotional pain and trauma, to rewrite old soul contracts and really help ourselves through kind of the energetic healing aspects that are available in the Akashic field.
That's a great segue, because I'd really like to learn a little bit about what you think somebody who's never really delved into this kind of work could do to start recognizing that there's some old soul contracts that they could probably work on and cut those ties with that will make their lives a little easier moving forward.
Yeah, no, that's a great thing to talk about, because, you know, as a matter of fact, I just did a TEDx talk, which is a talk really about trauma, because what I realize, and of course what the Akashic Record Keepers that I speak to, who ask me to write these books and such, they said, we want to help bring this healing wisdom out to the world in a bigger way, because I think that so many people feel like they're just kind of stuck or blocked. They don't know how to change things up, right? We're kind of, you know, we grew up in a family. We really kind of take on the energies, the beliefs, the thought patterns, really the programs of the people around us. And so often we feel like we don't know how to break free of some of the, you know, the emotional pain, or sometimes it's the lack. Sometimes there's lack of money or lack of love or even lack of health, right? Lack of vitality, like that we've grown up in, and we don't know how to kind of make a new choice. And so this is really what the Record Keepers are talking about, is by starting to connect to the idea that we are way more than just a body, that we're not just this little physical form. We truly have a very wise soul within us, and that when we can start to connect to those greater parts of us, such as connecting to your higher self, which is, you know, kind of that bigger aspect of your soul, when you can connect to, you know, other sorts of guides, like our angelic guides. All of these are steps to starting to feel and understand that we're much more than just a body. And so what I love about the Akashic Records, because it is your very own personal library of you, all of the books in that library are your soul's stories, right? That every life you've ever lived, if you imagine that you have a whole library and each book is about one life you've lived, and most of us have had, say, 500 or 800 lives here on Earth. We've been living, you know, thousands and thousands of years. And so if you think about that, you can go, wow, there's got to be a lot of information in there, in my own library, that could be helpful. And that is the experience that I've had over all these years of doing readings and healing sessions for my clients, teaching students to access their own information, is that the wisdom within your own Akashic Record, in your own soul's library, is there to help you, excuse me, not only to see and know kind of that you're more than just this, but it also energetically can help us to shift. And when we, and some of these things are a little bit experiential, so it's a little harder to describe, but what I've seen with so many clients is that as they start to connect to this information and wisdom in their own Akashic Records, that they can kind of feel that energy shift. They know in their heart, in a almost visceral way in their body, that they're more than this, and there are new decisions they can make. There are other choices they can make that will start to, step by step, shift their life in a positive way. And so it's really often about taking baby steps, you know, saying yes to something that maybe you were afraid to say yes to before because you thought, who am I to do that? Or I don't know enough to, you know, make that move or say yes to that offer. You know, maybe I'll fail. And so our fear stops us from going forward. But when we can start to kind of know in this visceral, physical, energetic sort of way that I'm more than this, I know a lot more than I think I know. It's knowing with a, like a capital K. It's what we call it is claircognizance. It's a sense almost from your heart that I know the truth of something even though I can't really explain how or why I know it. I just do. And they're not facts. They're not, you know, it's not, well, sometimes it is science. It's very interesting because, of course, because we're so ancient and wise, some of us have come to be inventors. And I believe that Einstein even would talk about, he would kind of mentally work on a problem and work on a problem and work on a problem, and then he would have a dream, and he would dream the answer to his scientific problem. So Einstein really paid attention to his dreams because we can often receive that soul guidance, that kind of higher information that is not learned, right, in this life, in school. We're accessing this bigger aspect of ourselves and some of the gifts that we've come to share. And that can come through in a dream, or we can learn to do it consciously by learning to access our own wisdom through our own Akashic records. And that allows us really to make some new choices. You know, 1 degree, if you turn just 1 little degree and you start walking, you know, you don't have to go very far to realize you've really changed your trajectory and are in a new place.
Well, I think that's really interesting because we take for granted our ability to flow. We somehow, somewhere along the lines of all that has come to pass, we have forgotten that there is a world outside of the world that's in our head, there's a world outside of the world that's in our body, there's a world outside of our yard. And I don't know how or why or what the purpose is in forgetting that we're more energy than thought, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it does. And the way I hear it in the Akashic Records, I love the records because you can ask all sorts of kind of abstract, big questions, and they often have answers for us. And so, you know, really what I'm hearing is that we as these big infinite souls choose to come and have this very physical experience, and we want to forget. The amnesia is a choice, you know, a planned choice. And it really is to be able to experience life fresh each time. So if you had, I mean, that's actually kind of how I felt. And when they told me that I'd lived 1,000 lives, I thought, well, no wonder I was awake when I was 3 years old. No wonder I could remember that I was more than just a body. Now, it didn't actually make life any easier for me. It probably made it more confusing and harder, and it made me a little bit more pissed off that I was back trapped in a body. So I think the amnesia is actually helpful for most of us. You know, so then we're learning afresh. Everything is new. And really what we want to do is we come back again and again learning to be, you know, the bigger. We want to learn to be love. We want to learn to be forgiveness, compassion, awake, more conscious. And so as we can almost overcome our humanness, then we can share that wisdom and that energy and that light, that higher vibration and frequency with others around us. And I really believe that's where we are historically now in 2022. We are finally moving into this next 9-year cycle, which will end in 2030. This is very much about building the foundation of the new earth. And, you know, even though for most of us it still feels like we're, you know, kind of often back in all sorts of emotional pain and trauma and drama and everything that's been going on, especially for the last 2 years. But energetically, we actually, more people are waking up. The vibration of the planet herself is raising. And so I know that more and more and more people every day will be just a little more conscious, a little more open and aware that they are just more than just this. They may not know what they are or what the more is, but it's allowing us that possibility to learn, right? Open to the infinite possibilities of the universe that the universe has to offer us. And so we get to start to say, what else can I do? What else can I know? Is there more of me? Do I have more gifts that I wanted to share? And, you know, are there soul contracts with other people, or how can I heal the relationships that I have that have been, you know, a struggle in my life? What can I know or understand about that? So for us as humans at this point, a lot of it's about kind of healing and releasing some of our own judgments and our own thoughts or beliefs, you know, about right or wrong and good and bad, and starting to understand that we're really so much more. And to me, that visceral feeling that I'm way more than just this little body can be very transformational.
I love this whole process personally, because I feel as though I sit back as a guardian and just watch. I'm watching people grow. I'm watching people evolve. I'm watching people learn. I'm watching people open up. I'm watching people. It's like, did you ever have children?
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed the last couple words.
That's okay. Did you have children?
I have three.
So you remember when they're going from that crawling to that I'm so independent, I'm going to walk, and I want to get into everything phase?
Oh, yes. You know, as a matter of fact, yeah. I was just with my granddaughter, who's 11 months old, and she's just learning to walk, and I keep laughing and thinking, oh, my gosh, pretty any minute she's going to be running away.
That's it. The whole barrel of but it's a sense of accomplishment, too. You know, you're watching them with pride, and you're like, yep, you're going to fall, you're going to crash, you're going to burn. Then you're going to get up and do it all over again. And that's kind of how I feel we are right now. I think we're all in this toddler, getting ready to walk phase, where a lot of people are just realizing what their body really can do. And it's beautiful, I think.
Yes. Yeah, oh, I totally agree, yes. And I think for a lot of people, we look at it and think it looks like such a mess. Same thing like a toddler. I love that idea of kind of looking at it that way because, right, they fall, they bump, they cry, and then they get up and do it again. And I agree, that's where we are as humans, you know, right now.
Well, we're just learning. Like, we're like, oh, wow, this toadstool is really cool. Let me put them in my mouth. Like, you know, that's what little toddlers do. They're starting to explore and feel and sensation and control their environment to the best of their ability. And I think that's what we're learning to do. And I think some people, as we've seen over the last couple of years, are refusing to participate, whereas other people are just like, oh, shit, this is cool, man. This is really, really cool. Let's do it again.
Yes. Yeah, oh, absolutely. No, it is. And it's, I mean, I'm excited. Of course, you know, there are so many challenges out there. And you know, we have come to a point, I think, where we need to make new choices or we'll burn up the world, right? So, you know, we're struggling with what's the best way to go forward? What's the highest and best for humanity? We have to really start looking at the world globally instead of, you know, just personally, instead of our little world, our town, our state, you know, it's got to be like, how are we going to survive as a humanity all over the world without burning it up or blowing it up or running out of water or food or whatever the story is, right? So it's very much about changing our whole view of, I think, ourselves as humans and moving into really the bigger community so that we can all work together and create something beautiful. And the record keepers have long said, you know, we're moving towards creating what we wanted to probably thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, creating that new earth, heaven on earth, you know, beautiful life. I think that next time we get to come back as the queen. And
amen.
We all get to be that.
Amen.
Yes. Right.
Amen. Tired of being up to
you. Absolutely. No, exactly. I mean, I laugh because that's really what the record keepers say. Because people often say to me, is this my last life? Do I have to come back again? Because, of course, it is a struggle for most of us, you know, and the record keepers say you'll want to come back again because you're going to create a beautiful earth. And
yeah,
so,
maybe somebody else can do the creation. I'm good. I'm out.
Right.
No,
I figure I'll decide when I get there. I don't know. I'm not committing, but
no commitment today, folks. No commitment today.
No, definitely not. I'm like, 1,000 lives, I think I'm done. Have I done my commitment yet? You know, really? But who knows? I'm just like, I'm always open. So
this is beyond the sequel that everybody told me would be really good, the 15th time. Let's go. We're done.
Right. Unless it's everything that I can imagine it to be. But, you know, but to me, I think, you know, what I have found over all these years of accessing this beautiful divine energy of the Akashic Field is it actually raises our vibration and moves us into a place really energetically, but consciously. Our consciousness shifts into a place of feeling just much happier and just more joyful, and things feel easy and more expansive. And so, you know, what I found is being able to use this in my life every day, being able to spend most of my time in the Akashic Field, teaching others, doing readings and healings, doing radio shows, really sharing this energy and love, is that it's allowed me to feel much happier and more joyful. And I noticed the same thing for my students, the people who, you know, also kind of study this work and actually start accessing this realm, because it's your library. It's this beautiful vibration of you, and to live in that expansive vibration is, it's just, it feels so much better than living in just the small human body.
We are infinite creatures and beyond, and it's really nice to travel virtually around the world and meet so many people who just get it, who get that we are more than our bills, and we are more than people complaining and whining and bitching, and we're far more than what television could ever provide. We're very expansive, and it's just, I love what I do. That's all.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah. It just, I don't know, it just makes it easier. It, you know, to me, it's just like you kind of go, oh, okay, you know, I get it. I chose some, you know, kind of crappy, you know, life situations. I made some weird decisions. Really, I made those decisions as a soul before I embodied. But, yeah, you know, we really did because we said, I want to learn. I want to help those people. I want to grow. I want to do all this stuff. And, you know, it kind of doesn't always look like fun and easy. But we're in the end. When I see people come out at the end and then they share the gifts that they've learned through their personal experiences. And even if you share that with one other person, just imagine that you're changing one other person. You're changing their life. You're supporting them to maybe take a different step or you know, heal themselves. And so often our challenges, our trials can be so supportive or so helpful for others. And so, you know, that's where I really love to see people, you know, working in the records and using and understanding that when we can change our, you know, our challenges into gifts, then it really is supportive of humanity.
All right, my dear. Unfortunately, we could go on for days, but we have surpassed our time on this journey. And I really would like you to give out your information and let people know how they can find you and what your next adventures are. Do you have a class coming up? Do you have another TEDx coming up? What's going on with you? We got about 4 minutes.
Okay, thank you. So my Learn to Access Your Own Akashic Records online workshop starts on February 8th. It has got 6 sessions. I'm doing it on Zoom. It'll be like 7:30 Eastern time on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And so you can find that on my website at akashicknowing.com. And there's that link on your beautiful website. And so that's my next workshop. I do Akashic readings and healing sessions for clients. You can also find that along with my 2 books all on the website. And pretty soon my TED Talk will be published on my website as soon as it gets published on the TED channel. So I'm just kind of waiting any day for that to get published. So I would love to see people in an Akashic workshop to learn this empowerment tool to support your life, to really know who you are in that big infinite way, you know, or come for a reading or healing session and learn more about your soul's plan and what the heck your soul was thinking when you decided to embody this time. So.
Mine must have been drunk or stoned, I'm telling you. The crummy San Diego in me. She left the building. Nobody can find her. Lisa, it was a pleasure. Please don't be a stranger. I love what you do and who you are. And, you know, let's connect again one day soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Rusty. It really was a pleasure. So much love to you and everyone. Okay, bye for now.
Love you, too. Take care. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty, and I get to do this. I get to meet people. We get to have a little bit of fun. We get to know each other a little bit better. And then we get to take that information and share it some other way, some other capacity. Maybe you're inspired. Maybe you're curious. Maybe you're going to run out and get a whole bunch of information on the cost effectiveness and what that actually means to you. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll just start by listening to Edgar Allan Casey. He's really quite phenomenal. It's a great start, I think. You know, and maybe you won't. Maybe you'll just do the weekly challenge and go out and do something nice and different for somebody else. That would be cool, too. It's all up to you. However you show up today, tomorrow, the next day, these are your choices. Nobody's making you show up in any other way. You have that choice, and that's powerful. That's what makes you a powerful universal being. So, remember, you are nothing but a sack of water floating on a big, molten, giant rock, swirling in the universe without a steering wheel. So no, you have no control over anything. And quite honestly, if you were to talk to my Akashic records, I know that life is all about being playful and having a good time and enjoying yourself. Maybe a little hedonistic moment from time to time again, but, you know, laughter. Laughter is what we are supposed to be. We're supposed to be in joy. anyway, know that you're loved, know that you're beautiful, and until next time, I will hear you, see you, touch you, feel you, smile upon you again. Do something kind.